Today on Dog Pound Report, we learn which Browns make the NFL's top 100 players of 2015. We take a look ahead to training camp and break down the linebackers in this week's position spotlight. This is Dog Pound Report.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. As always, Nathan Zagura is here. We are almost to the season. We're like almost everything, and we're just in this holding period right now.
Yeah, for the players out, school's out for summer. They're going to go have some fun, stay refreshed on their playbooks, get their bodies right. We're about a month away from training camp, 2 months away from the start of the regular season. So we're getting there, Andy. We're getting there.
Just because they're not on the field doesn't mean we've got a lot of great things to talk about. We start with this week's first trending topic. And this week, the NFL Network continued to release their top 100 players of 2015. Joining Tayshaun Gibson, who was at number 67, and Joe Thomas, who is at number 25. Joe Hayden is at 23. Nathan, as I rattle off these numbers, man, these guys are all leaders, and they deserve to be where they are in the rankings.
No question, and it's great for the Browns to have two of the 25 best players in the NFL, according to this list. Number 25, Joe Thomas, of course, the 8-time Pro Bowler, has never missed a snap in the NFL. When you think of the Browns, you think of Joe Thomas. He's been the best player on this team ever since he was drafted. And then Joe Hayden, he is a true number one quarterback. He follows the number one receiver of every team. A lot of guys don't do that. Richard Sherman, he stays home on his side of the field in Seattle, not Joe Hayden. If Antonio Brown goes in the slot, so does Joe Hayden. If he goes to the right side of the field, so does Joe Hayden. He takes the number one guy every single week and was part of a defense that was number one in completion percentage allowed, number one in passes defense, number one in opponent quarterback rating allowed. They did a great job. The secondary is great, and he is the man. He's the straw that stirs the drink. 2-time Pro Bowler each of the last two seasons. Well-deserved, and ironically, number 23 for number 23.
It works. You think it's a bigger deal for the fans or it is for the players? I mean, they've got to take some satisfaction when the NFL Network ranks you like that.
If you look at Joe Hayden's Instagram or you look at his Twitter, you know he was very happy about it. Had to put a couple of graphics up about it. So I think it does matter to these players because ultimately, at least what they tell us, is that it's voted on by the players. So this is the respect from your peers. And Joe Hayden came in this one ahead of Ben Roethlisberger, ahead of Drew Brees, ahead of Jimmy Graham, ahead of LeSean McCoy. So a lot of respect for these two Browns. Actually, both guys were ahead of the four that I just mentioned.
All right, so let's
take that, Ben.
Let's move on to our next topic. I still think it's cool for the fans. The NFL's Rookie Symposium was this weekend. For the fourth straight year, all drafted rookies came to Northeast Ohio. One of their stops, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we caught up with David Baker, the executive president and director of the Hall, about the big event.
You know, Canton is only about an hour down the road from Cleveland, but this is where the game began. This will be the NFL's 96th season. So 96 years ago, September 17th of 1920, the NFL was founded right here in Canton, Ohio. It was in a car dealership called the Hupmobile. And our goal here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame is to be the guardians of the game, the values that it stands for. We honor in this gallery here the heroes of the game, the 295 best players of the game that have ever played it, of the 100 million guys that have ever played this game. So I think the commissioner and the owners, and certainly all of our board of trustees here at the Hall of Fame are excited to have these young men come back at the beginning of their career in the NFL to understand that these are the shoulders of the men that they stand upon.
Very cool. All right, let's talk about the symposium itself. What is it all about, and what do fans need to know about it?
Let me say, I like that guy. I like his pocket square. Reminds me a little bit of Buddy Garrity from Friday Night Lights. I want to hang out with that guy. But I think the symposium is a good thing for rookies because, listen, when you go from being a collegiate athlete to a professional, a lot of things come up that you don't know about. You start to have to worry about financial planning. You have to worry about your friends saying, hey, can you loan me this money? Can you give me that? So just teaching them what it's like to come in, assimilate to a team, going from being the big man on your team to now being a part of 53 guys on an NFL team, how you should live, where you're going to live, what type of property you should invest in. Are you getting a house? Are you getting an apartment? What to do? Basically, everything you need to know about that adjustment to life in the NFL. So these guys don't just come in here all of a sudden get handed, you know, millions of dollars for the guys who are drafted early, and they just have no idea what to do because they've never been in that situation before.
Right. I think the one thing about the Rookie Symposium, no matter what sport it is there's really no excuse. Like, I think a lot of times when we're here fans, we hear somebody takes a wrong turn here or there. They're like, how can they know better to do that? They really do know better because not only is the NFL, but the NFLPA make sure that these guys are trained not only in fiscal, but social and all those things out there that they really need to know. And I don't know that fans know that the NFL and the NFLPA work hard to make sure these guys do know what's going on.
They work very hard because at the end of the day, this is the lifeblood of the NFL, the players, and this is an influx of new talent. So, yeah, they have guys who come in and do the scare them straight speeches about their stories of woe, whether it be financial, whether it be running with the wrong crowd, getting into something that they shouldn't have, you know, substance abuse, performance-enhancing drugs, everything. These guys come out of that getting a crash course on what not to do and what to do. So hopefully when they come in, they can avoid the mistakes of some who went before them and weren't ultimately able to live up to their potential.
Well, the other thing is they get a chance to go out to Berea. If you get a little bit of rain, you're going to do some stuff out there. I think it's good for the Browns. It's good for Northeast Ohio. And I also, as we talked about with the Hall of Fame, it reminds these guys where football was born and how important it is to maybe some of the places where they don't play for.
Sure.
But they go into those venues and they understand the history and the tradition of what football means to these communities.
And I think that's so important, and we saw the guy from the Pro Football Hall of Fame talk about that as well. They're standing on the shoulders of these people who came before him. But yeah, it makes Ohio seem like the hotbed of football in the birthplace, which it was. And so it's good for these guys every year to come in, get to go to Berea, you get to go to the Browns facility, but also, as you said, the Pro Football Hall of Fame and kind of get that experience. And I know from talking to some of the Browns rookies, they absolutely loved it.
Very cool. All right, we got to get to this next topic because it's outstanding. The Browns weren't done adding to the roster in the offseason. On Monday, they were awarded Terrell Pryor from waivers from Cincinnati. What does this mean? I think this is going to make camp a lot of fun.
It's going to make it a lot of fun, and I have two words for this. Why not? There's no downside whatsoever. Is he going to play quarterback for this team? No. Terrell Pryor is not making it as a quarterback in the National Football League. Now we see him there with the Oakland Raiders. Who was his quarterback's coach at that time? It was John DeFilippo, the new offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns. So they know each other. He's going to come in and try to be a receiver. When you look at this team, what don't you have? Well, yeah, you got Rodney Smith competing at 6'5". You don't have a guy who's 6'6", 230, 240, runs a 4'4", 40 like Terrell Pryor. We saw him catch that fade route at Ohio State, and you said to yourself, why doesn't this guy just play receiver? Well, now we're going to find out if it can happen. Unfortunately, he doesn't have practice squad eligibility, so he's going to have to make the team if he's going to be here, and it's an uphill battle. But this is one of those situations where you're betting on a tremendous athlete at a position of need, and why not take a look at Terrell Pryor?
It's the afterburner speed, and all you need to do is go back and watch the record-setting touchdown he had against the Steelers when he was playing for the Ravens.
He can fly 91 yards.
It is amazing, and this is going to make camp a lot of fun, I think. All right, stay tuned. More Dog Pound Report right after this.
After the break, we look ahead to this season's training camp position battles, and later in the show, we break down the Browns' collection of linebackers.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report with the Browns training camp on the horizon. We wanted to take a look at three things we are looking forward to heading into August. And Nathan, during training camp, you know, the competitions, they are at their peak. The coaches want it that way, and players are vying for top spots. What are the positions we are looking at the heated battle spots?
Well, listen, it's all about competition. That's what Ray Farmer wants. The depth is out there. We're going to start on offense with the wide receivers, and I think the sixth wide receiver is really a spot to watch. Bo, Hartline, Hawkins, Gabriel, and Vince Maley, they're set. Gabriel's been the star of the offseason. Sixth spot, that's where it gets interesting. You got Marlon Moore, who was on the team all of last year, considered to be one of the best gunners in football on special teams. And when you bring in Andy Lee, you're going to have a guy booming the ball. You need gunners that can keep up with that big leg. I think that gives him an early edge. But then there's Travis Benjamin. He's a staple on this team, former fourth-round pick. Can he regain his form as a punt returner and as a receiver to crack this team? You have Rodney Smith, who's 6'5", who's had a very nice offseason, really developing a young player out of Florida State. And then, of course, Terrell Pryor, newly signed to this team. Those guys really, in my mind, competing for one spot because of the philosophy of this team. Running the football, punting it, playing great defense. I think Marlon Moore's got the edge right now. But Travis Benjamin, Terrell Pryor, Rodney Smith all have great shots.
Really quick, Pryor, can he play special teams?
I don't think so.
That's
going to be hard for him.
That makes it difficult for him.
Sure.
All right, let's go to the offensive line now. Where are you looking at on the offensive line to say this is the battle?
It's got to be on the right side, and I think it's going to be Cam Irving competing with John Greco at right guard, maybe Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, but I think ultimately it's going to be Cam Irving and John Greco, and I think the first-round pick out of Florida State is going to eventually get the nod, which gives you tremendous depth because Greco then becomes your interior swing guy along all three positions, and that's a great place to be to have that guy to be able to step in who's been a very solid starter for your team.
So what does Irving need to do, though, to step up and get that job? I mean, this isn't going to be easy for him.
No, he's got to go out there and show that he can come play at guard with something he has not done. Now, in the offseason, they've had everywhere on the line, but came into the league as a center out of Florida State, played left tackle there. He will back up Joe Thomas at left tackle, so if Thomas were to get hurt, he'd slide to left tackle and Greco would come back in at right guard. But he's got to show that he can help the run game and, of course, protect the quarterback, and I think that's what he's going to do.
All right, defensive line now. You got the rookie and you got the big veteran. What do you think?
Danny Shelton was brought in here and drafted early in this draft to start for this team. I think they are giddy about him. What's interesting about the defensive line is let's look at who's a given to make this team. Danny Shelton's a given. Randy Starks is a given. I think Dez Bryant's a given. Those are your starters. Then that second wave, you got Xavier Cooper, who was drafted. I'm pretty sure he's going to be a given. And John Hughes, who you just signed to a big extension. Right. So that's five. How many defensive linemen are you keeping in a 3-4, though? Because then you still have Phil Taylor in the last year of his deal, Billy Wynn in the last year of his deal, Armani Bryant, who they think is the best pass rusher of the group and might play some at outside linebacker, Ishmaelee Kitchen, and then there's Dylan Wynn, an undrafted free agent who's been the talk of camp. Realistically, maybe seven guys. That means two of Phil Taylor, Billy Wynn, Armani Bryant, Ishmaelee Kitchen won't be here. Do they keep eight on the defensive line in a 3-4? I don't know. It's going to be very tough, and I think that's why you're going to see some movement there in this offseason.
All right, I want to talk to you about something that I don't know a lot of people are talking about, but the kicker's position. And, you know, you got Mayfield's own Carey Spears, who's going to try for this thing. Let's see if he can win it. But what kind of what are we going to see in kicker? Is this going to be his job? He's going to have to compete for it.
I don't think the kicker is here.
Okay.
I think the kicker that will kick for the Browns in week one is not currently here. But these two guys both can boom it. I've seen them. They're both good. They're close, neck and neck, coordinating special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. But I think ultimately, when it comes down to it, they're going to look for a veteran to come in later on. And I think that will ultimately be the kicker for this team.
All right. Let's move a little bit forward here then. And we'll talk about the second big thing. The Browns are going to Pittsburgh, New York on August 17th and August 18th, a joint practice with the Buffalo Bills. Why is this good?
Other than the fact that Pittsburgh sounds like Pittsburgh, which I don't like, this is great because you're going to get to compete against another team. It's almost like getting, it's better than getting a preseason game because you're going to have multiple days of controlled practices. You get sick of going against the same guys, and it's the same offense against the same defense. You get a chance to measure where you are against another team. Plus, we're going to get to be at practice with Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan. And if you think that's going to be fun, I think it's going to be even better than you can think.
I think that's fun, but I also think that when you go back and talk about the defense where you've got guys that are going to be competing for positions, I think it's going to get scrappy and it's going to get a little bit mean when you're going up against another team and you're trying to prove I've been here long enough and I want to stay.
And it's going to add some fire to that preseason game on Thursday night on national television. So you're exactly right. It's a chance for these competitions to sort themselves out. You're not going to know what they're running. They're not going to know what you're running. It's a great opportunity for this line, by the way, on our offensive side of the football, to go against a great defensive front for the Buffalo Bills. See where they're at. See where our ground game is at. Also, stopping LeSean McCoy. You want to say we're going to stop the run? That's a great guy to test out your run defense against.
It's going to be fun. All right, the Browns are also going to take training camp on the road. They'll go to Columbus this summer with the Orange and Brown scrimmage taking place August 7th in Columbus at Ohio Stadium. 60,000 tickets were given away within hours of being available to the public. Man, it's going to be fun.
This is going to be awesome. And they capped it at 60,000 because it's a Friday night. They wanted to make sure fans had a good experience, that there wasn't too much congestion getting in there. But the fact that 60,000 tickets went in a couple of hours says this is very, very good for the Browns. Columbus showing that it is a little bit of a Browns town, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to get those three former Buckeyes. Now you got Widner, Hartline, Terrell Pryor back in the shoe. It's going to be a great environment and a great night.
Yeah, it's still Browns town. I mean, for a guy that lived in Franklin County as long as I did, it's Browns town. All right, stay tuned. Dog Pound, we'll be right back.
Coming up next, we analyze the Browns linebackers with linebacker extraordinaire Matt Wilhelm, and later on, our social post of the week.
Welcome back, and in this week's Position Spotlight, we are breaking down the Browns linebackers. Matt Wilhelm has joined us. You have a little bit of expertise in this area, maybe a Super Bowl ring to go along with that. Let's talk about the linebackers for this year's team, and who do we expect to start, and what kind of battles do you think we'll see?
It's a great group of guys. It's a deep group of guys, and I think as you look at the inside linebackers, I think Carlos Dansby was playing at a Pro Bowl level last year, got hurt, missed some games, probably missed out on making a trip to Hawaii to play in the Pro Bowl. And the guy next to him, I think, is going to be kind of by committee, as we saw last year. Craig Robertson coming back with a great year. Chris Kirksey really emerged, 75 tackles as a rookie in the National Football League. Highly impressive. He's been impressive in OTAs, in minicamps as well. Tank Carter, a guy predominantly going to be on special teams, but really showed out in OTAs and minicamp as well, and maybe secured his spot as the fourth inside linebacker on this roster. As you look at the outside, Paul Kruger, 11.5 sacks last year. We look for double digits again from him on the outside, rushing the passer. I think Barkevious Mingo graded extremely well. not the best individual to get to the passer. That's where Scott Solomon and the reason why we drafted Nate Orchard as high as we did is going to make an impact opposite Paul Kruger.
Yeah, I think when you look at these inside linebackers, the battle's at number four. Dansby, Robertson, Kirksey are set. And I think Kirksey this year is going to try. The coaches want him to surpass Robertson. But Craig Robertson is a great team player. He knows what he's supposed to do. He can fill in at both of those inside linebacker positions and did so very, very effectively. I think you look at, you talked about your guy Tank Carter and then Hayes Pollard, who they drafted out of USC. He's competing. And Darius Eubanks coming back from that shoulder surgery, a former safety in college. He can really cover, so he brings another element there. That's going to be a big battle for that four spot. Outside, it's the four guys you mentioned, Kruger and Orchard, and then Mingo and Solomon. Barkevius Mingo, the sixth overall pick, he's great at dropping. You don't draft a guy sixth overall to be a drop outside linebacker. They need to see him get to the quarterback this year. He didn't have two shoulders last year, only had one, so he played hurt. That's admirable. But this is the year he needs to take a big leap. The bullseye is on him in training camp.
All right, let's go back on Kruger. Why was Kruger so much more successful last year with a new coaching regime? And what can Mingo do? Let's bring this up, too. What can Mingo do to be better next year?
Well, I thought Kruger was featured rushing the passer 96% of the time. He's going to get all the opportunities to rush a passer. And Barkevius Mingo, over the course of time, just evolved into the dropper of those outside linebackers. Every 3-4 defense has a guy that excels at rushing the passer, and the other guy does kind of the both. Whereas that's why the addition of Nate Orchard and Scott Solomon, everybody kind of does one thing better than the next, and they're going to be used in situational football. So Kruger will be the mainstay, and the packages that we bring in Mingo and Solomon, probably going to be the stop the run, Mingo in evident passing situations, and you hope the emergence of Nate Orchard just allows him to pin his ears back and go after the passer.
Right, talk a little bit more about Orchard, too, because I don't know, nobody really knows, and what are we going to see?
Yeah, out of Utah in the Pac-12, 18.5 sacks last year when he went one-on-one with Andres Pete, the 13th overall pick, and some thought the best tackle in the draft, had 3.5 sacks in that game, so he can get to the quarterback. Last year, he lined up standing up, but most of the time with a hand on the ground, so he's got a little bit of a transition to make there. But I think he's the heir apparent to Paul Kruger. I think they're going to put him in that rush linebacker position ultimately. But this is a group that has to get after it. And when outside linebackers in a 3-4 are the most effective, it's when both of them can do everything. You look at Baltimore, you have Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil both getting to the quarterback. And if the Browns can get in that situation, because they're going to stop the run and earn the right to rush the passer, these outside linebackers can put up some big numbers in this defense.
All right, what's the most valuable piece of information you can give from a guy that spent a lot of time in the league at linebacker to a guy like Orchard? What did you learn that's so important that these guys need to know if you could put your arm around them and say, this is going to make you successful?
Sure. As a rookie, I would be having a conversation with my position coach and Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, almost every single day asking, how was my practice? Almost like the little kid looking up for, you know, admiration from their parents. How did I do today? What can I fix? And all those things at this point in the offseason can only help him be where we want to be week one and be a potential slash starter. And when he comes in, he is ready. He can communicate in all that graduate level defense that we know we're going to see in our second year of this system, that he's able to go out there and you don't miss a beat. You don't feel like you need that veteran in Mingo or a guy like Scott Solomon to come in there, that you can rely on a rookie, which we really should for where he was drafted this year.
And the good news is, talking to outside linebacker coach Brian Fleury, he gets texts and phone calls from Nate Orchard at all hours of the night, driving his wife a little bit crazy. But Nate Orchard wants to learn, constantly studying, and wants to at least be mentally prepared so he has an opportunity to go make plays on Sundays.
All right, maybe we still get a little legs out of you. You could go, I don't know, at least one game. You got a half in you, don't you?
I've got a charity flag football game tomorrow night. I'll get my run tomorrow.
He's like Gronk, uncoverable.
Right, let's get some Gatorade in you so you can play. All right, Matt, thank you very much. We always appreciate it. More Dog Pound Report coming up right after this.
When we return, we bring you our social post of the week. Stay tuned for more Dog Pound Report.
Welcome back, Dog Pound, to Dog Pound Report. This week's social post of the week comes from rookie Randall Telfair. He and other rookies visited the Pro Football Hall of Fame this week as a part of the symposium.
Yes, the rookie symposium in town. They all went out to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I actually got to talk to Cam Irving after that, and he said it was an unbelievable experience. Neat to kind of walk around and check it out. And speaking of Randall Telfair, when he gets healthy, I know they have big plans for him. He was very highly thought of in the Browns draft room as a tight end out of USC, so hopefully he can get healthy soon, get back into the mix there. But I've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame once. My dad was in town, took him out there. Pretty neat place. Cool to check out, and certainly a lot of Browns history in that place.
What's your favorite part? For me, it's going through the bus and just seeing all those great players.
Yeah.
And also, I think as a Browns fan, just when you see Jim Brown there, and you see Otto Graham, Graham, and you want to connect with your team when you walk in there, because the spirit and feeling you get of rooting for your team every week, you migrate towards the players that you root for, and it's hard not to go right to those Browns when you walk in there.
Oh, of course. Everybody in Cleveland goes there. When I went, it was cool to go check out Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott and some of the 49ers that I grew up watching. But it's just, it's a football fan's kind of paradise, and I definitely think everybody should check it out. And I know these players were kind of blown away by how much was there. And, yeah, when you go into that the room, the Hall of Busts, pretty impressive. It's
plus,
pretty neat.
You also have the renovations going on down there. The stadium's going to get an upgrade, a good-looking facelift. Yeah. The press box has been redone. It's outstanding.
Which is good for you.
Yeah, it's always good for me. It'll be good for you,
It'll
too.
It'll be good for me as
well. We'll give you a pop-up there if you want to come up there. But, you know, knowing that you can drive by that and feel the heart, I mean, really the heart of professional football here in the Midwest, it's right there for you.
It is right there, and it's close for everybody watching Dog Pound Report. Check it out. Definitely get out there.
All right, so finally, let's wrap things up with our weekly predictions, and we keep these training camp related. What is your prediction, Nathan?
We talked earlier about the defensive line and just how many good players are on this defensive line, but it's a numbers game ultimately. And in the National Football League, one thing I've been told by many GMs is good players don't get cut. So what does that mean? If you can't keep them all, one's going to get traded. I think the Browns are going to make a trade from their depth at defensive line at some point during training camp.
For what position?
I don't know. It could be a draft pick. Could be a draft pick. Could be a receiver. I'm not sure on the position, but I do think they will move from there and pick up an asset that they can use either this year or in the future.
All right, I'll go back with that receiver. And my prediction for this week is if Terrell Pryor does make this team, by week two, he will be in the top five for the Browns in jerseys sold. I think Browns fans will go out and flock for Terrell Pryor jerseys just to see what happens.
Will he outpace Manziel?
No, I think that'll be tough. I think it's always tough to, well, he's a quarterback, but I do think it's tough to outpace that, and it's also a new jersey to buy.
Right.
And I think that's what puts you in that realm of saying, I want to go out and get that jersey, especially if you can make the team. But as you've said, and I've said, and we've talked a lot about, it's going to be a tough road for him. He's got to become a wide receiver, and he's going to have to learn some of the things that he's never had to do. Let's face it, 2 weeks ago, he was a quarterback.
Yeah, so why not? Let's give a guy who's a phenomenal athlete, who has a size-speed combination that we don't have on our roster, at a position where we need some help, an opportunity to come in and wow us, because that's what it's going to take. Just because he played quarterback and switched doesn't mean he can go to the practice squad now. He's got to be on your 53.
Absolutely. All right, we are off for the month of July, but make sure you tune in for the hour-long Inside the Cleveland Browns specials throughout the entire month until training camp.
Don't forget.
Oh, no, you got to take us home, baby.
That's what I was going to do. Don't forget.
Take it.
We bark together on the Dog Pound Report. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you, too.